This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stockingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Hello. I had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson.
Ah, she said, listening in.
Yeah, she said, I enjoyed the conversation with Terry. Maybe it's because, too, for a small business, mentoring coaching is probably a big part of their overall budget and something valued because it's seen as an investment to grow and improve. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, if people commit to spending that kind of money in a small business, they tend to value it. Absolutely. Whereas big corporations, you know, it's a drop in the ocean. It means nothing.
And it should be said that Tracy is the owner of Plucky's World, and she is starting conversations, supporting self-awareness. She's a personal growth and Prince's Trust mentor. And you can find her on pluckysworld.com. And that's P-L-U-C-K-Y-S, pluckysworld.com. Give her a follow and say hello from us.
Absolutely. And she's a great supporter of this show too.
She is. And she's also a supporter of Shop Local, like retail.
Absolutely.
Retail mentoring.
Hold on. You've been admonished.
Oh, what have I said? And what
it's DG East. Please, can we educate Jill Serkin?
What have I done?
Hold on. The hybrid vehicles still use either diesel or petrol. Happy to come in and explain.
Oh, says. Well, yeah, no, come round and have a little noggin with me. Because I was talking to, you know, I've had a Honda CRV for yonks, and it's done like 250,000 miles.
You bought it off Fred Flintstone, didn't you?
I did, honestly, and it is just goes and goes and goes. It's amazing. Well, we've never spent
Until someone nicks your cat at your converter, of course.
Yeah, that was a problem. But we've never spent more than about, I don't know, I think most we've ever spent is £800. It just went through its MOT.
They've never taxed it or anything. Nick's an ex-policeman. You've got to be careful.
I do love a policeman. But what I was just talking to Honda in Canterbury. A lovely guy called Daniel sent me some prices because we need to think of a new sort of family dog car. And he said that they've got one that is self, you know, the battery, which I thought sounds amazing. So then you wouldn't need petrol if it's self-charging. And
yes, of course,
lifetime battery, which I liked.
Now, of course, they are hybrid. Terry's going to come in and explain this to you. The rechargers are okay, but the range is very, very limited. So it has to have a petrol engine or diesel engine.
I'm sure he said the range was amazing. I'm going to test drive one and
Salesman, Jules, for God's sake.
We had a long chat about COVID vaccinations as well, which was really good. I need to do a test drive of the one.
Some of the hybrids are quite clever. The best I've seen is like 60 miles on an electric hybrid as a range.
That's all right. They'll get me here.
Yeah, it's okay for going to the shops and stuff. And some of them recharge using brake inertia or just the engine.
I think the thing is now that new cars have just got so clever, haven't they, with all the microchips and things and
computers.
It drives me bonkers. It's just too much.
My car's got sensors all around it. You go to park in a car park and it goes off like a bomb.
It's
parking. You know, they have little narrow bays in supermarket car parks.
Yeah, and that seatbelt thing that bleeps when you haven't got your seat.
That woman drives me mad. She's worse than my mum.
You have a woman? She says that. Yeah, I get a beep.
It's a German woman. You have not seatbelt.
There's your vaccine passport.
Yeah.
But when I reverse into my drive, because I like to go out, you know, front ways. So I reverse in and I like to take my seatbelt off so I can crank round properly to look, because I've got two walls. And I'm squeezing in between the Honda and with my Merc.
I've seen that on Twitter.
Have you?
Yeah.
Anyway, I take my seatbelt off and then it just bleeps the whole time. It's so annoying. And also the sat nav isn't as good as the TomTom. Sometimes she takes me very odd places and I end up where I shouldn't be.
My Mercedes, the sat nav came as built into the car. Yeah, if you buy it as an optional extra, it's like $3,000.
Yeah,
yeah. When you can buy a TomTom for 150 quid.
Exactly.
Although TomTom does give me the collywobbles.
Well, the thing is, when you've got a nice Merc like we've got, you know, I saved up and bought mine, and I love it. But you don't want to put a TomTom on the windscreen, then it looks a bit noddy, doesn't it?
No, well, I get a nasty little twitch when I talk about TomToms. But
yeah, I know that story. Yeah, that's for another show, because it'll make you curmudgeonly if you talk about that.
Well, very quickly.
Go on, he's going to tell you anyway.
Very quickly, 15, 18 years ago, somebody called me up and said, I've got an investment opportunity for you. Do you want to go out? It was a company called Palm, based in Holland. I went out to meet them, and they said, oh, we've got this device that we've pioneered, and it's going to cost a couple of £1,000. And I said, what does it replace? And they went, well, a little book that you can buy for £6. Okay, you're having a laugh. We're not doing that. And I said, well, we're trying to sell 26% of our business for £100,000, which is why I didn't buy an investment in TomTom, really, which was a bit of a shame. But there you go. We all make mistakes.
Yes, as the Dalek said, climbing off the dustbin.
Exactly. Yeah, so...
Well, I'm going to go and meet who am I meeting?
Terry.
Because I'm looking at Terry here, Terry Botty, Botfield.
And you're going to meet Terry Thorpe. Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of Terrys. When I was a schoolgirl, I used to, Terry Beaver, my local boy, had a crush on me, and he was about 13. He used to carry my bag from school. Sweet, isn't it? Yeah. So Terry is a good name for me. And
Well, girls allowed at school in your day, then?
Yeah, we were. We had to have our skirt no higher than 1 inch above the knee, and I had a little boater, and it was a rough comprehensive. We had a proper hat and everything
in Essex and everything.
Yeah, right. Rough it was. Yeah. Female entrepreneurs, talking about ladies, in the county now have the chance to fuel, talking about fuel, their growth, talking about growth. And trousers.
We'll get there eventually.
With expert advice. Told you I was feeling perky. NatWest Expert in Residence scheme is being rolled out, including at the Kent and Medway Growth Hub. Mm-hmm. They're available to host events as well as provide expert insight and advice on business finance. And the initiative is running in conjunction with the Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy, otherwise known as BEIS for sugar, and the South East Local Enterprise Partnership, and follows a 2-year pilot of the scheme. The role also provides support to CELEP, that's East Local Enterprise Partnership, to access additional expertise to help female-led businesses achieve their potential. And Luke Pamphlet is the expert for Kent and Medway.
Fantastic.
Talking of Ashford International, Nick, I took 2 dresses in because I have put on rather a lot of weight, 2 stone during lockdown.
I'm saying nothing.
It's just, you know, being at home all the time is ridiculous. And you perk yourself up, don't you? Little thing here, little there. I took 2 dresses in to the dry cleaners. And I went to a new dry cleaners.
Sorry, you started off telling me about an Ashford International Hotel.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Have they got a dry cleaners in?
No, I thought I ought to have a dress. So I've got a really nice sort of cocktail dress I wore with Michael Bloomberg.
Oh, I see.
He loves me, darling.
Okay, yeah.
So when I was with Michael Bloomberg, who loves me, darling,
can we get on with this?
It was a really nice dress.
I want to talk to Nick.
He snatched me for a photo, so it was a really good. It's my lucky dress. Yeah. So I took that and another one, which is a bit more forgiving, as I've put on quite a lot of weight during lockdown. And when I went to get it, I'd never been to this dry cleaner. She said, I went to pay with my Apple on my phone. She said, oh, no, it's cash only. And it was £30 for 2 dresses. I didn't have any cash on me. I said, this guy isn't paying tax, number one. She said, oh, yeah, he does pay us cash. He pays us all cash. And I got very uppity. And I won't use them again. So one of my dresses is still there because I had to scrabble about in my car and find a bit of cash in a chewing gum pot that I have cash in. £30 for 2 dresses and cash only. Having a laugh, aren't they? What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think about it? Do you have cash only businesses where you are?
No.
There's quite, see, we've got a fish and chip shop in Whitstable, which is cash only. Come on, Terry, say something. What do you think?
Well, then we've got fish and chip shop at the top of my road. It's cash only.
Oh, yeah, really? What do you think?
I think restaurant round the corner is cash only.
Yeah, but do you think they're paying tax?
I have no idea. I wouldn't like to say.
Yeah.
I don't think they're paying tax. Nick, yeah, what do you think?
Well, it all seems a bit suspicious to me.
But I felt very curmudgeonly. And £30 for two dresses?
But
buy a new one for that.
But I want to talk to Nick, but just on that, I've not seen...
You can't buy a dress for 15 quid.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I mean?
Well, they did last time I tried, my Sunday afternoons anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go to my other dry cleaners next time. Go on, get it off your chest, Paul.
No, I was just going to say, all of my local shops say no cash, card only.
Exactly, with COVID. Yeah. Anyway, I was very uppity, and she had never thought or questioned the fact that she gets paid in cash, and obviously she's not paying any tax either, is she? The lady that works there.
You can make that a sin.
I tell you, my elbows came right out.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah.
Anyway, what we need is some whistleblowers there, isn't it? Ah, you see what I did there? You see what I did there? It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Nick Inge. Nick, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Nick is from iTrust Assurance. Why don't we kick off, Nick, by you reminding us what it is that you do? And then we're going to talk about your books and maybe a little bit about Worldly Wise and anything else we want to talk about. Yeah.
Lovely, Paul. Nice to see you again, mate. And thank you for inviting me on. It's been 2 years.
Is
unbelievable.
It really, is it
two,
really that
yeah. Can't be.
It is, honestly. 2 years. I know, I looked in the emails this morning trying to find the address. But
because I think the last time you were on as well, you were talking about Louis' business, which is the waffle company.
The waffle company, yeah. He's at university now. He's moved on in his life. I think he hasn't sobered up from Freshers Week yet. That was 2 months ago.
That Freshers is lethal. Oh, I remember when our youngest did it and the shots and stuff.
Where is he?
He's at Leeds doing economics and French.
Okay.
Oh. Well, he's supposed to be studying. I think he is, to be fair. But
So he's still in his first year?
Yes. He's meant to be. He should have been backpacking because of COVID.
I know.
He hasn't been anywhere apart from Leeds. But
it's very tough for youngsters, I think.
Yeah, really tough for them. Yeah, and I'll come on to Worldly Wise and how that started with Eleanor. Our daughter was going back. Well, she did go backpacking. About to come back early last year from Bali because of COVID, and she was sitting on a beach having too many bevvies, and I said, Eleanor, I think you better get back because the whole world's closing down now, and she's come back, so it's really tough.
I mean, that's an unheard-of sentence, isn't it? It's something that we never thought we'd hear in our lifetime.
Mm.
You know, the whole world's closing down.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, look, you know, anything in life, you need a plan B. Mm. And when she went travelling, we said, you need a plan B, never thinking it was going to get ever, enacted, and then sure enough, we had to, pick her up from Heathrow, and she had to stop her backpacking travels early because she was going to go to Australia. But anyway, it's another story. I'll come to Worldly Wise later on. But, yeah, I trust. Yeah, that's moved on a lot since I was here last, 2 years ago. We started out in July 2019, so I retired from the police in June 2019, with visions of running whistleblowing telephone hotlines for grassroots sports clubs. As you probably remember, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what happened was we soon pivoted, to take your expression from earlier, Terry, and people started being interested in the training side of it and speak up cultures. And my background, I suppose, it's not all about Moir, darling, but they were interested in my background, which is informant handling in the police, which I did for over 20 years until I retired.
So. Informant handling. Come on, run us through that.
Well, unless you are a super spy, Jules, you might know what I'm on about. It could be double bluff. But, just people in the criminal world who want to speak up about wrongdoing. And I know James Bond. If you saw me coming out of the English Channel in a pair of Speedos, it's not a pretty sight, Jules. But, so it's all about that. But taking that skill set into the corporate world and then looking at the news and seeing what was going on, thinking, well, speak up is becoming more vogue, more commonplace. People are getting fed up with wrongdoing in the workplace, however that manifests itself, whether it's racism or sexism or corruption, fraud, theft, et al. So we thought, well, I'll tell you what, we'll set up a consultancy, speak up consultancy. Whistleblowing is a very negative term. It's got all the sort of like grassy, snitchy connotations, but speak up's a very more positive term. So
yeah.
I did some training and then through a contact of mine, an ex-colleague in the police, a lady called Sam Gurney, who runs Teddy Gurney State Agency in East Kent, she put me in touch with Doug Bannister, who's the CEO of the Port of Dover. And then in February last year, I did a presentation about creating healthy speak-up cultures to the SLT away day at the Port of Dover, which is, I was thinking, whoa, crikey.
Wow.
I ended up doing this, and my mates who are still in the job, in the police, sorry, that's very colloquial for them, saying, how are you going to do that? And that's the power of networking, isn't it, Terry, that you were talking about earlier. So I did that, and then we partnered with a Dubai-based software company in February, March last year, because they had an app. And they were trying to sell it, but what they were finding was that the organisations they were approaching didn't want to administer the disclosures of the other end of the app. So they, through the networking, contacted me and said, would you like to be our third-party administrator? So that process then started. Obviously, COVID hit, and then we had to sort of... I mean, bearing in mind, they're in Dubai. I couldn't go and see them. And then we started rolling the app out July last year, and then tragically, the CEO, he was only 43, got terminal brain cancer.
Wow.
It was so sad.
Absolutely tragic. And what happened was, I was on a Zoom with him in October, yeah, about this sort of time last year, and I said to him, Craig, how are you feeling? How's your weekend? He said, I've got a, you know, got a headache, it might be a migraine, and then it went rapidly downhill. Absolutely tragic. So, yeah, I went out to Dubai in January this year to see him, see if we could do anything with the business, because the business was converging. It was blending into one, and then it didn't work out with those guys for various reasons. So then I started looking around about creating our own app, because obviously it's a digital platform. You know, people don't necessarily want a telephone hotline anymore. People are always on their phones. Yeah. They can report things anonymously. That's the big thing for me. Going back to my old world of informant handling the police, no one wants to be found out. No one wants to be seen as a grass or a snitch, but people want to tell the secret, so it's keeping them safe. So we developed our own app now over the last few months, and now we've got our own app, which we own the code for. I mean, honestly, 2 years ago, what did I know about software and apps? But you get a good team around you, and you build slowly, and now we've got a lot of interest in it, with some really big interest from large corporates. I won't say any more than that at the minute, but which is good, because the world has moved on. I mean, when I sat here 2 years ago, no one had even heard of COVID, right?
Yeah.
And since lockdown, lots of people have changed their views on the world in terms of, I look out for it. So in the press every day, there's always something about speaking up, speak up, speak up, whether it's the whole BLM thing or the Me Too thing or whatever it might be. People are getting fed up with wrongdoing in the workplace because they don't want to see it. They don't want to put up with it. Mm. And what we're doing is having a preventative measure, i.e. if an organisation has this app in their organisation, it's preventing wrongdoing in the first place. Instead of, you know, trying to solve the problem, whether it's, I mean, you look at sport and I mean, the tennis issue at the minute.
And the cricket.
And cricket, oh crikey, cricket.
That was just awful.
Terrible. And it's still ongoing. And the football thing never seems to go away, the racism thing. Mm. But what they seem to me from the outside looking in, I'm not a footballer, but I've been involved in that world, apart from Louis, you know, playing a lot of football in his younger days. However, what's happened is they get the problem and then they try and do something about it. Rather than trying to prevent the problem in the first place by having an effective speak up system,
yeah.
To me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, I know it's my business and stuff, but why wouldn't you want to have a system by which empowers your staff to speak up completely anonymously, mm-hmm. based on us being a third-party administrator and my team of ex-covert police informant handlers? And that's what it's about. So that's what we've got now. So we own our own app. Lots of interest in it, and we're very pleased in terms of where we are. So,
and I think you nailed it there as well, Nick. But you know, just kind of thinking about this, I guess the more that you can do your workshops, inform organisations about it, and paint the obvious picture, the more likely they are to come with this. I guess in years gone by, none of this infrastructure happened. You know, even if people had mentioned it, you know, there's horror stories of, I think it's Celtic and Crewe Alexandra and other football clubs that had years and years and years of abuse. And, you know, I'm sure people did mention it somewhere down the line, and I'm sure it was a known thing within those clubs. Mm. But they go, well, you know, well, who'd you tell? I mean, no one's going to be interested in this, you know.
But it was a different era. I mean, it was the era of the Carry On film, racism and sexism.
But not only that, I don't think organisations like that at that time were managed in a way that would even handle it. They go, you know, you know, not that they condoned it. They were just scared that when, you know, blimey, let's pretend this didn't happen.
When you look at Jimmy Savile, I mean, that is an absolutely terrible, terrible story of people reporting stuff and nothing was done about it, because the people that were on the receiving end of the disclosures on the reports were more worried about the reputation of the BBC. This is well documented, not talking out of turn here.
Yeah.
Well, more concerned about the reputation of the organisation than of the victims.
Yeah.
Now look, that is absolutely terrible, isn't it? I mean, how would you feel as a victim if you're speaking up about what happened and no one believed you, or if they did believe you and passed it on, nothing was going to be done about it? And what happened was, eventually it came out, and then look what's happened. You know, it's tragic. And I mean, Terry was talking about small businesses and passion. You know, this is my passion. Through the app, if we can get one person in a business who didn't have that means to report whatever has been irking them for years or months or weeks, whatever it might be, and has that power then to go, do you know what, I'm going to speak up and do it safely, and we can keep them safe by sanitizing the type of information they want to put through or whatever it is. I mean, the app itself is not a hard sell for the app, by the way, but this is what the business is about, and all the other verticals go with it. But what happens is, instead of having a telephone hotline, which a lot of the time is a tick box for a regulator, we've got a whistleblowing hotline. You bet how many people use it. You know, it's going to cost a business, $1,000 a year? But if you have no disclosures, what's the point of having it? Because what happens is, it gets to a tribunal and someone says, yeah, but I didn't believe in it, because all the whistleblowing policy, the speak-up policy was out of date. I did a review on a charity not too far from here a few months ago. I looked at their whistleblowing policy. I won't mention who they are, it's unfair, but I looked at it and it was out of date. And I'll say, well, where's the mechanism by which, if you've got a problem with your line manager, go to your, I mean, where do you go? I mean, to the line manager above them, who's then going to report to the line manager because they've, and then people go, do you know what? I'm not going to even bother. I'd rather leave the organisation, stay silent and put up with it, or become what I say is becomes the internal terrorist. They'll get their revenge by doing something against the business itself, by, you know, I don't know, setting up another business themselves, or not doing what they should do at work, or becoming lazy. You know, because people don't join a company generally unmotivated. Something trips them, whether it's a line manager or something. And but if they haven't got that mechanism to speak up, then they're going to do something else. They go on Glassdoor. They'll slag you off down the pub to your mates, or they'll go and set up a fake social media site, or go on fake, or whatever it might be. The world is so accessible to people. What would the company rather do? Get someone to speak up internally, and they can deal with it and provide the feedback via ourselves to the user, who remains completely anonymous. Rather than that, do that, then end up trying to, like I say, trying to then remedy the problem after it's happened, because then it's already hit the press, then it's already got to the business, everyone then thinks it's a toxic business. And we were talking about, well, you were talking to Paul earlier about job opportunities. I mean, attracting staff to your business, if you attract them saying, look, we're an open, honest and transparent business, we have got this system within our business, that's another little sell to the business. If you're a young person going, you've got the choice of a few, maybe, well, I'll go to that business because their morals and integrity and transparency and openness is better. And for the business itself, in terms of their clients and how they are using it as a marketing tool, they're showing their clients and customers and whatever, going, look, we are an open, nothing's going to come and bite you on the bum. Well, it might do, but there's very little chance, because it acts as a dash cam for a business. That's how we describe it. It's that seeing over the horizon. You know, there's nothing can mitigate absolutely everything, but it's a really good insurance policy about it happening or stopping it, sorry.
You can't stop people doing stupid things.
Of course you can't.
You can't. What you've got to do is try to minimise it as best you can up front. But if it does happen, you've got to have the policies in place to deal with it. And as long as you deal with something effectively, you know, the reputational harm for the business is minimised. So I totally agree with what you're saying, Nick. And it's interesting, isn't it, that how far we've moved in a few years. And I guess a lot of it is because of this open information, or the ability to post things anonymously on the web anyway. People can get their own back, if you like, as you say, a kind of revenge attack because nobody listened to them. But you're right, you know, so many policies, just normal HR policies are, well, you know, if you feel hard done by, go to the boss's boss. You know, how does that work?
I know it's mad, it doesn't make sense, is it? But what happens is they say we've got a whistleblowing policy. But it doesn't mean, it's not even worth the paper it's written on. There's no point even having it, is there? Yeah. It's literally a tick box. So we've got a whistleblowing policy. It does make it in. And I get very passionate about it. And for me as a person, why should someone who's doing something wrong somewhere get away with it? Because they're either a bully, or they're thieving from the business, or, you know, someone set this business up. This is their pride and joy when it was a very small business, and someone's then nicking from it, or, you know, or doing something they shouldn't do with it. Hold on a minute. If you knew the owner personally, you wouldn't do it to your mum. You wouldn't do it to your dad. You wouldn't do it to your brother or sister. But because you're an anonymous owner of the business, you're going to come along and take a salary, why should you do something against that person? Yeah, you know, it does matter. And this is why we've set up what we've done. And I suppose maybe we've hit a bit of a sweet spot in terms of society and where it's at. You know, I see it every single time in the press. I'll show you the videos, Paul, haven't I? And sent some of them through in terms of our marketing material, which we've had done recently. But, you know, why should someone, for example, who's got a disability can't park in that blue badge bay because someone just thinks, do you know what, I'm going to park my car in there anyway and I don't really care about that person.
Yeah,
if it was their mum, they wouldn't do it, but because they think they need the space to get in or whatever it is, they can't be bothered. You know, if we can get the app into the Motability world, for example, how powerful would that be? Because they've got actual, someone got an actual voice then to go, this is the evidence, I've taken a photograph, send it through to whoever's going to deal with it, the shop, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, how powerful would that be? You know, and it's it's really good. So we're very excited about the app and iTrust and everything that goes with it and who's interested in it as well. So
do you see yourself almost like a sort of mediator, and do you work with HR departments and things as well? Or are you...
Well, it's the bosses of the business, the people at the top who are going to be really implementing it and okaying it, because it's a big move, isn't it, in terms of they don't want to stir up a hornet's nest of stuff, and that's some of the rub sometimes, but I think they're missing the point. I think they're missing the point. The world has moved on, you know, they're just like you said, Paul, they might be burying their head in the sand, you know, but the world has moved on now. They have to go with what people are wanting. I think
that's the hardest thing with something like this, is to go along to an organisation and say this is what we do, because everybody wants to deny it happens in their organisation. Yeah, they go, oh no, we're fine here, we don't need anything like that, nothing like that ever happens here, because by going the other way and going, do you know what, we need you, they're almost tacitly saying we have problems. And they don't want to do that. And that's why I think the way that Nick's approached it is a far better way, which is to almost say, look, this is a corporate social responsibility issue. You know, if you've got no problems, so what? This will manage it to make sure you don't really develop problems in the future. You've got to sell it as a positive rather than, exactly as you said, you know, as a whistleblower, you know, as the in-house sneak.
Snitch. Snitch RS, you could have called it, couldn't you?
Could have,
But that makes it so difficult right across the board, because it sounds underhand in itself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I do want to ask a question from the other point of view as well, though, because it's something that bothers me a little bit when you see certain things happen in society. Do you ever get people that lodge a complaint viciously? And what I mean by that is they're trying to dob somebody in
for no reason
that hasn't done something, just because they've upset them in some way.
So in a way it's sort of bullying in a
there's a term for it in the courts, which is a litigant. I can't remember what the term is. A grievance litigant, basically.
Yeah, but the stats are very low in terms of that. Figures, and also as well, if you've got a team of covert coppers behind the app, they're very less likely to put any fictitious allegation in, because they're going to get found out. So being the third party, you know, we sanitize the information, probe it, what's the provenance, what's the circle of knowledge, and it puts people off in the first place. So they're not going to even try and do it. And what we do is we grade the reports, so they're graded red, amber, green. So this goes back to my old world, without giving anything away, but you know, you look at the source of the information, how credible are they, how do they know the information, how many other people about know the age, and before they go through that process, they're not going to even bother. And if they did want to do it, they wouldn't even go through us anyway. They go straight to they could phone the hotline or put a brown envelope under someone's door and say, this is the allegation. So you got Walter Mitty's. I just come across it in my whole world. You get people doing it all sorts of different reasons. But, you know, we've handled informants in the criminal world, from shoplifters. This is all over the place, from shoplifters through to murderers and the counter-terrorism world. I'm not talking it up here, but, you know, there's a whole gambit of people there doing it for all different reasons. And they do, believe you me, provide information for all different reasons. But, by having what we do and the team behind it, it puts people off in the first place by putting those things in. And also, sorry, Paul, very quickly, we're talking about whistleblowing, but the app itself is not just about speak up. I'll show it to you later off air if you wanted to, but what we do is it's an app so that people can not only speak up safely about wrongdoing, but they can also use one of the buttons as an electronic suggestion box, right? So there's a positive element to it. So if they wanted to improve workplace culture or physical improvement to the building or whatever it might be, they can press that button. If they want to praise a colleague, they can do that on another button, and they can do that to that colleague, or they can do it about the organisation. They can do it covertly, either anonymously, or they can choose in the app to do it overtly. So there's an option for them to then suddenly go, do you know what, I don't mind being known, because some people do. And obviously, and then there's an option for the client as well to customize a button. So the customer in Maidstone, who's customized it into what they want in terms of the construction industry, because it's relevant to them. So we don't want it to be seen on someone's phone as a toxic this is a grass me up tool, mm-hmm. or grass someone else up tool. This is a positive, not a negative, and that's the real key feature for that. So the business owner sees it as a positive, as well as the user staff member in the business. They, because it's all about usability within the, you know, it's all about engagement with the, otherwise what could potentially happen is we get KPIs every quarter, they say how many people used it, well, one, and that's a negative. Well, hold on a minute, we want people to be using it all the time, about suggesting a change. And you look for, say, on the construction industry, for example, if they're on site, or someone's on site and they don't go to the office to put a bit of paper in a suggestion box, which is still going on, believe it or not. I mean, I just find it quite incredulous, really, with the 21st century and everyone's on their apps, you know, why are we putting bits of paper in a canteen anyway? But if they're on site and they've got, do you know, that's a good idea, they can actually instantaneously use the app and go, I'm going to do it right now, instead of, oh, I'm going to go in the office in 3 weeks time, I'll forget about it, or, do you know, or I can't even be bothered now, or I've forgotten about it, you know, or it's at 3 o'clock in the morning, they wake up because something's whizzing around, they get on the app and send it through, you know, it's an easy way of doing it. And you know, I've got a friend who wrote a book called Modern Zombies a few years ago about people just on their phones and just walking along, bumping into each other. Yeah. And it's that sort of thing. Everyone's on their phones. Yeah. And it's a modern way of doing it. So
absolutely. So, you know, coming back to my point, I think one of the things you're saying to me is by an organisation using the app, they can actually minimise the potentiality of someone, you know, maliciously pointing the finger at them as well. So, you know, there's another positive benefit to that, to both sides of it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Cool. Fantastic stuff that you're doing. And it,
what about these books, Paul Andrews?
Well, I was just going to come round to talking to Nick about the books he's written so far. You've got two books so far, and I think you're working on a third. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about the books you got here.
Yeah, I'll just quickly recap our conversation 2 years ago, Paul. I'm very driven in life, right? I'm very passionate about life. Every day is a bonus for me. That sounds a bit cheesy, but it's true. And I said, I've got two books. The first one, I don't think it had come out at that time. And here the second one is, and the third one's on its way, but it's taken a bit of time to get with it. Yeah, so the first one's called Exposing the Truth, Whistleblowing Uncovered. It's all about a guide to helping people speak up, right? Because it's not easy. Mm. And if they've got a crutch which they can go to in terms of, do you know what, it can be a very lonely place. If someone's guiding them through the pre, during and post journey of speaking up, and it resonates with a few people, fantastic. So that book's out on Amazon and it's doing well, and I'm very pleased. We've got some great reviews and I'm, you know, really happy with that. The second book is a fictional book. The first book's a non-fiction. The second book's a fiction called Jeopardy. It's all about corruption in the police. Pure fiction. Slip of the tongue.
There's a slip there. I've seen that. Bodyguard. I was watching it on television the other day.
You've seen Line of Duty. Yeah, it's pure fiction, obviously. But yeah, it's 60,000 words, which is been well received as well, which is great. Yeah, look, if I can write a book, or books, anyone can write a book, believe you me. Self-publishing is relatively straightforward, like anything is in life, when you know how. And it goes back to what Terry was saying earlier about, and what you were saying earlier, Paul, about you see an opportunity and you go for it. And you were talking, Terry, about, you know, on the marsh and you know, saw a space for some networking groups down there. And this is what I love about it. And you mentioned it earlier, Paul. You go in a big corporate and you're very constrained, and nothing against the police at all. They're great and they do a great job. And I've got some great mates in it and, you know, all that sort of stuff. You do get an element in good and bad in every organisation, yep, right across the board. But what I can do now is I can write a book. I can write another book. I can, you know what, I can set up iTrust. I can set up Worldly Wise. And it, the only constraint is obviously, you know, time and money and everything else, but not my imagination. And that's what I love about where I'm in life at the minute. You know, it's just a fantastic place to be. And I get very passionate and excited about lots of things in life, which is, I've got many faults, but hopefully that comes across in terms of what we're doing. And Worldly Wise has come out of that, and we'll touch that and talk about that in a minute if you want. But yeah, it's the books are literally, like I said, if I can do it, anyone can, believe you me. And if it gets half decent reviews, and all the reviews are by my mum, by the way, she's a fantastic supporter of what we're doing. But, you know, the reviews are, and what I love is not just mates writing reviews, there's people across the country who've read the book based on seeing it on Twitter or recommendation, and they've gone, do you know what, that really resonates with me. And, and, you know, if you can connect with one person somewhere that you don't know and never meet, possibly. Yeah, that's what it's about for me. So
absolutely. Just for the final minute or so, Nick, because we're kind of fast running out of time, tell us a little bit about Worldly Wise.
Worldly Wise, yeah, speed briefing, came out of our daughter going backpacking with her two friends, left school in Mason having done her A-levels 2 years ago, went off to Southeast Asia with her two friends. We were a bit worried as parents. They thought they knew it all, obviously at 18, maybe they didn't think they did, but they didn't. And then we created Worldly Wise. We put together with a friend of mine, Travell Henry, who trained me when I first joined the police, a bespoke course on cultural awareness and keeping physically safe when they were travelling. And on the back of that, we've now got 78 volunteers who go into schools across Kent and further afield sometimes to give their Worldly Wise advice free of charge to schools and young people about their journey in life. You know,
what a brilliant idea.
It's all come out from that. We can't let it go. There's a great demand for it. The school's loving it. We're getting testimonials from schools across Kent. And when me and Travell on this journey of Worldly Wise, which came out of nothing as well.
But we're in different times, aren't we? Because, you know, we've got this spiking that goes on. I mean, my niece is at uni. Yeah. She won't go to any clubs now. And her friends have been literally jabbed with a needle. This is, you know, in clubs.
Yeah.
So we're in a whole uncharted territory.
Yeah. Look, and I've got friends who, you know, have got a few quid and they've left schools without any academic qualifications, you know, scaffolders and builders and stuff, and they've got the skills of networking, communication, leadership and all those things. So if any of our team who, like I say, give it a time for nothing, go into schools and it resonates with one student, you know, who's sitting there, you know, got a disability, or they got, you know, come from a difficult background, or they haven't got any, they're not particularly academic, if that one person going in on a Zoom and has resonated with someone, and they go, do you know what, I became this because of that one thing, who they never meet, and in 30 years time Zoom might be redundant, who knows, but they go, and that's what does it for us, that's the passion we have, and we have done it, we continue to do it, empowering young people with inspirational stories. That's all we're about in a nutshell, Paul. So
fantastic, Nick, we could talk about this forever. You know, there's so many things here, you're so passionate about it, and it's such an important set of topics. Sadly we're running out of time now, so we'll get you back and talk about it some more, I'm sure. For the moment, Nick, thank you so much for that. If people want to find out more about the apps, about High Trust Assurance, and about Worldly Wise, what's the best way to do that?
Look at the website, go into the contact pages for both, itrustassurance.co.uk and worldlywise.global, and there's contact details on both websites. So
fantastic. There are links to those websites on the Kent Business Radio website. They'll stay there forever. For the moment, Nick, thank you so much. It's an absolute pleasure to hear your passion and your drive for the things that you're doing, and they are very important things that you're doing. So thank you for that.
Paul, thank you for having me on. I'm very, very grateful. Thank you.
No, it's a pleasure.
We've had a tweet from Tazi64. That's T-A-Z-I-64, Tracy Ferguson. She said, I like the term speak up. Agree with Nick that it's much more positive. Usually this involves a lot of confidence and bravery, so the training and the app are great steps to support this, enabling those vital conversations to protect not only people at the time, but also in the future too. Values.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Tazi.
Do you know what I'm going to do now?
What are you going to do? Read the FSB?
I'm going to read the uninterrupted FSB news.
Go for it.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
The FSB launches wellbeing benefits designed for small business owners and the self-employed. When you're working for yourself, looking after your wellbeing is crucial to the success of your business. Access a wide range of wellbeing resources and services that would normally only be available to employees of large businesses, including a 24/7 telephone and online GP, and unlimited telephone counselling for members and their families, a virtual physio, discounted health cash plans and insurances, and advice and much, much more. To find out all about it, go to fsb.org.uk/membership benefits. The Kent and Medway FSB is delighted to support the Kent Business Summit 2022. This will be held on the 14th of January, bringing together some 300 businesses, key policymakers and leading academics. This will be the fifth annual summit, and it has a clear emphasis on the business opportunities and sustainability, with the latest news from key projects alongside expert keynote speakers. The confirmed speakers include leaders from Kent County Council, Medway Council and the Bank of England, providing up-to-the-minute overviews of key regional activity and economic insights. You can find out more by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB to find out about that. Entries are now open for the Celebrating Small Business Awards 2022. We're celebrating the achievements, successes and resilience of small businesses and the self-employed across the UK. And you're invited, whether you're shortlisted for one of 12 local awards or make it all the way to the spectacular UK final. If you want to enter or find out more, go to www.fsbawards.co.uk.
I'm now going to give you a number of webinars and meetings that are taking place. At the end of that, I will give you a link to find out more and to book any or all of them. Kent Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking, Thursday the 23rd of November, 9:30 a.m. to 10:30. Join us for this Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow entrepreneurs. The speaker on this event is Lade Turvey, and she'll be talking about rebuilding after adversity. There is Growing Your Business Through Recruitment, Wednesday the 24th of November, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Going Green in Your Business, Thursday the 25th of November, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And Women Entrepreneurs in Hospitality on Tuesday the 30th of November, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. There's Kent Virtual Networking on Wednesday the 24th of November, that's tomorrow, manana. Peter Searle is hosting this free event. These Kent events are relaxed networking with like-minded business owners, and everyone is welcome. The speaker is Amy Payne. Amy is talking about the current threats, key points of cybercrime, and Amy is the current project and prevent officer with Kent Police. She's a brilliant speaker. I know Amy really well, and I've seen her present a number of times. She's fantastic, so do go to that. Lighting the Motivation Inside Your People and Customers, Friday 3rd of December at 11 a.m. Maximise Your Membership, Wednesday the 8th of December at 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. And Post-Pandemic Opportunities for Small Businesses on Thursday the 9th of December, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. All of those events can be found, and details can be looked at and your place booked by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB.
Beautifully read, Paul Andrews. We've had a little tweet from Neville Gaunt, who's written a beautiful looking book. He said it's a labour of love. It's finally finished. You can find him on Neville Gaunt, G-A-U-N-T, on the Twitter. He says it's the first volume for Pakistan young people, but everyone can learn from others, and there's more to come. And he's asked for a B Bunker shout out. And the book is called Everything You Should Have Learned at School But Didn't. And it's by Neville Gaunt and friends. So well done. And it's a free download there. You can find it. So go to Neville Gaunt, G-A-U-N-T, on the Twitter.
Dear friends of Produced in Kent, I'm writing to ask you to help ensuring our Food Loop Christmas appeal with your business, local government and stakeholder network across Kent and Webway. For more information on Food Loop, please check out foodloop.app. In order to develop the Food Loop app and run a 12-month project to build the community and make the app fit for purpose, we need $43,000. Up to date, we've raised $19,000 through a crowdfunding campaign, low-case funding and seed funding from a Dutch foundation. So they need another £24,000. With the Christmas appeal letter, we want to convince 50 businesses and organisations across Kent and Medway to each donate £500 towards Food Loop and become a Food Loop champion. Our donors do not have to be operational in the food and drink sector. Anyone who is passionate about finding a solution for food waste in Kent and Medway can become a champion. So if you'd like to help, they'd like to hear from you. That's Produced in Kent, and that is from Fergie Hooter, who's the CEO.
Ah, she's often on our show, isn't she? New homes and buildings, such as supermarkets and workplaces, as well as those undergoing major renovation, will be required to install electric vehicle charge points from next year. With the sale of new petrol and diesel cars to end in 2030, the government is looking to supercharge the electric vehicle revolution and make it easier and simpler for people to switch. And, of course, we know that the popular Tenterton Town Market is returning this week. They've got their added attraction to the town, which is Tenterton Town Council Clerk Debbie Baines has said, "We are absolutely thrilled to announce the market is coming back at the end of November. It's rejuvenated, not just any old market, and it'll include high-quality traders to complement the fantastic shops and will take place every 2 weeks due to the amazing response response we've had from traders wanting to be part of our ever-popular High Street community. And the markets will be held on the 2nd and 4th Fridays each month, starting on the 26th of November and finishing on the 10th of December, when they will have the usual winter break in January and February. Great market in Folkestone as well on Sunday.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's good. Samantha Bowen has written to me, please can you share this wonderful project with our listeners? It was an honour to sing in this special choir, and every pound donated makes all the difference. Having a child with a life-threatening condition and being in lockdown was tough. Demelza were always there throughout for families to fall back on, and I'm forever grateful for their support. And that's Demelza parent Sam, who's mum to Lucy. And Demelza's Fall on Me choir, starring children, families, staff and volunteers, was formed during lockdown and has brought joy, happiness and hope through months of isolation, loneliness and fear. A song recording, Fall on Me, performed by father and son duo Andrea and Matteo Bocelli, has helped Sam and other choir members to make memories they will treasure forever. By donating to Demelza's Festive Wishes appeal, we can create more magical moments for children and their families this Christmas and ensure they receive the care and support they need in 2022. If you'd like to find out more about the appeal or donate, if you go to demelza.org.uk/supporters/Christmas appeal. That's demelza.org.uk/supporters/Christmas appeal.
A Kent takeaway has been named as the UK's best, despite only opening during lockdown. The Ambrett Kitchen has won, it's in Ashford, has won takeaway of the year at the Asian Curry Awards. And our friend, Dev Biswal, who owns the Ambretts, there was one in Canterbury and one in Margate.
Margate and Rye.
Of which I've partaken many a time. He opened it alongside a second takeaway in Dover when the pandemic hit and Mr. Buswell's other restaurants were forced to close. The owner chef, who owns three fine dining venues under the same name in Canterbury, Margate and Rye, had never prepared a takeaway meal in his career before lockdown. He said that he was trying to create takeaway versions of his renowned Anglo-Indian fusion, but he said it was soul-destroying at first, but was quickly able to drum up business thanks to his brand's local following. So that's another example of businesses stepping up during lockdowns and things. Paul Andrews.
Fantastic. I've got an email here from Keith Mabbott. I'm delighted to confirm, he's from Street Soccer Charity, I'm delighted to confirm that we have our first up-and-coming celebrity football match being held at Maidstone United's Gallagher Stadium on Friday the 17th of December. Well-known personalities will be taking part to show their support for the Street Soccer Foundation. Those flexing their skills will include TV personalities Callum Best, who's the son of football legend George, and Joe Seeley, whose dad Les played in goal for Man United. Other celebrities on the pitch will be former X Factor winner James Arthur, ex-Towie stars James Argent and Dan Osborne, Love Island stars Luke Trotman and Jake Cornish, as well as former professional footballer Jamie O'Hara, EastEnders stars Matt Lapinskas, who portrayed Anthony Moon, and my mate Aaron Sidwell, who played the role of Stephen Beale, will also be flaunting their football skills alongside the host of other names yet to be announced. This will be a Christmas scene, community-focused, family fun evening for all to enjoy. So please do come along and bring your family and friends, as well as work and colleagues. The more the merrier. You can find out all about it and all the other things going on the night, and there's lots of other things going on too. eventbrite.co.uk/Street Soccer Foundation.
And Seven Oaks Chamber say, join us for an informal networking over a glass of wine and nibbles, showcasing the Seven Oaks Business Hub, an opportunity to meet those already using the co-working space. This is Manana, November 24th. Is that right, Manana? 24th. It's 6 to 8 p.m. And you can go to eventbrite.co.uk/e/evening networking tickets, but also look on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Mind West Kent mental health first aid training and short awareness workshops taking place from January to March 2022. West Kent Mind is a local mental health charity with a mission to enrich lives through better mental health by offering support to get well, stay well and to thrive. A better understanding of mental health personally and professionally benefits everyone. The experienced West Kent Mind training team offers a wide range of high quality, relevant and interactive mental health courses, wellbeing workshops and workplace training. Training manager Kerry Hodgkiss said, according to the ONS, one in five adults reported experiences of depression in early 2021 compared to one in 10 before the pandemic.
Left untreated, mental health problems can become much more difficult to treat. So there's CPD certified short workshops of 40 quid a person, and fully accredited mental health first aid course is just 150 quid a person. So here's the course dates. January starts Tuesday the 11th of January, adult mental health first aid. Thursday the 25th of January, understanding stress and anxiety. February the 2nd, understanding depression. March the 15th, adult mental health first aid. And they're the notified courses at the moment. You can find out all about them by going to westkentmind.org.uk/training courses, or you can email for more details, training@westkentmind.org.uk.
A sculpture garden, a water pontoon and a skate park could be built at a Canterbury beauty spot as part of a multi-million pound project to transform areas of the city. Can we just have an A&E? Designers at the City Council are proposing to significantly develop Tannery Field along with other key sites, with hopes pinned on winning government funding for the project. And they also want to turn the city wall into a green haven of wildflowers. I like that. Transforming Canterbury's crumbling castle into an amphitheatre and renovating the Dane John Gardens. I still think we need an A&E in Canterbury, but that's just my personal opinion.
Absolutely. I've got a bit of rubbishy news and then something better to finish off with. One in five businesses forced to take out a government-backed loan during the pandemic, so they don't expect to be able to repay it. And a third of owner-managed firms say cash reserves took a beating during the health crisis. The findings come in a new nationwide survey conducted by Canterbury business consultants Creston Reeves. In Shaping Your Future report polled 652 business owners last month, it revealed 52% of firms are experiencing supply chain delays of up to 6 months, with a third looking to reduce output as a consequence of that. It could have been far worse, I do think. So let's hope it doesn't get that bad. But who knows at the moment. The biggest problem we face is inflation, of course, because on top of all that, we've got increased energy bills, increased...
Well, Bulb just went under as well, didn't they?
I beg your pardon?
Bulb, the energy... Isn't it Bulb, the energy company, just went under?
Yeah.
It's very frightening. My mum's 91 and she was sitting the other day without any heating on, you know, and I said, put your heating on, Mum.
Gas prices rose 28% in one day. It's bonkers.
And petrol prices are ridiculous.
It's bonkers.
Actually, have you all noticed the price of food and that has gone up? You know, your shopping basket, everything. Yeah. And where am I dry cleaning? £30 for two dresses.
Yeah,
that is not sustainable.
And that's without a VAT.
I'll be wearing a dirty dress on Friday, I think.
Oh, lovely. finishing off something decent. First, firms across Kent and Medway can now apply for an interest-free loan of up to £500,000 to help the county's economic recovery. Kent County Council is offering a total of £8 million to help small and medium-sized firms develop new lines of services, invest in machinery and premises and create more jobs. No, we don't need any more jobs. We've got hundreds of thousands, millions of jobs.
Yeah.
The Kent and Medway Business Fund will offer loans between £100,000 and £500,000. To find out more, go to kent.gov.uk/business loans and funding. And I think that's it, really.
Well, it's nearly 2 minutes to three on my thing.
It's almost time up. I want to say a massive thank you to this week's show sponsor, the lovely folks at Tenterton Chamber of Commerce, to our two fantastic guests, Mr. Terry Botfield and Mr. Nick Inge. Thank you so much, guys.
Nice to have them in person in the studio, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Thank you so much for that. And to my gloriously gorgeous, stonkingly beautiful co-host, Jill Serkin. I'm back on Thursday with a Business Bunker Extra show when my guests are Leslie Wilde and Alana McKenzie from Kent Space.
Smashing. From here.
Yeah,
where
absolutely.
We are.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that. That's Thursday at 1 o'clock. We'll be back with another business show next week. But for the time being... Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.